T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency. And that's why we got our ass kicked.
That is Nuggets head coach Mike Gull Malone. And that's a lot different of a attitude from him than we heard from Coach Bud the other night. Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, Horvat back tomorrow. But the Nuggets get destroyed by the Suns. They go down 2-0. They're in the same predicament that the Bucks are. Lost the first two on the road. And their coach afterwards, I mean, he says, we got beat. One team wanted to be there, obviously in Phoenix. The other team looked like they didn't. And we got beat. And that's, I'd rather see that. I don't have like a fetish where I need to see grown men yell at other grown men. But I would like to know that at least when there's a terrible performance, that they care about that rather than just instantly accept it. Again, Nuggets got beat last night by the Suns. I got to stop staying up for these games. I love the NBA playoffs so much, and I stay up for all these games. All right. Yesterday, I ended up taking two naps. Now, normally I take one big nap, but yesterday I took two naps. My parents are visiting from Florida, and I haven't seen them in a long time. And they're playing with my son, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to fall asleep. This is what you wanted anyway. You want to see him. I'm just the byproduct to create a grandchild for you. So I'm Michael Malone. This is what I want to hear from Coach Bud. This is what I just, again, I don't need him to come out and scream and throw everybody under the bus, but I want to know that when you get beat like that, you care.
Literally, I saw guys say, I'm not making shots tonight. I'm just going to walk around and mope, and my body language is going to be poor. And I felt that was the five guys on the court. That was the 12 guys on the sideline. We had no juice, no energy, no passion, no fight, no urgency, no grit. Come up with whatever adjective you want to use. We did not have it. And you can't use, hey, we're going home for game three as something you're going to rely upon. We have a great crowd, but if we play like this, they're going to boo us off the court, and rightfully so.
I mean, come on. That's everything I've been saying about what's wrong with what Bud said. I mean, you listen to that, and then you hear Coach Bud the other night say, oh, it doesn't matter if we lose by one or lose by 30. It absolutely does. Toby, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to get a team more fired up than the coach calling out their effort? Whereas Coach Bud's just going to say, yeah, we got to be better.
I don't even need it to be like maybe Michael Malone thinks, all right, the way I'm going to win game three is if I'm going to send these messages through the press. I don't even need it to be that. I just want an acknowledgement that you sucked. I want an acknowledgement, like, we all saw the Nuggets last night, if you watched the game, we saw them play very bad. And so the coach, at his press conference, I mean, it's just simply admitting that you played very bad. But they try to skirt around the fact that they played bad. No, you played bad. You played bad. Again, you heard Michael Malone, and then here's Bud.
Whether you get beat by a point or by 40, you know, you got to be ready for game three. You know, you got to have a short-term memory. You got to get yourself ready, understand what we need to do to go home and win game three. So I think the locker room, there's a lot of great leadership in there, and the guys will respond appropriately.
It's an interesting juxtaposition because you got one guy there who in Budenholzer sounds like he doesn't want to offend or alienate anybody in that fragile locker room, where Malone with the Nuggets knows his guys are tougher than what they showed, and so they are grown men that can handle a little criticism. That's what it seems like to me. But yeah. Bud's being cautious. I don't want to hurt feelings. Malone's like, guys, what was that?
Yeah, and which one of these guys is coaching for their job? Bud.
Yeah.
And yet he's too afraid to get on somebody for sucking in game two.
Yeah. There you go, Toby. Get angry.
I need to hear some fire out of Bud.
Yes.
I don't. You know what? Not even for the fact that you need the Bucks to win in game three. I need to see some passion. You want to keep your job.
Yes. Just admit that you're in. Like, just admit it. Admit that your team is bad. Admit that they played bad. You are going to get eliminated. You play like this. Now, the odds for the Bucks to come back and win this thing, I'm sorry, they're already very poor. Normally, when a team goes up 2-0, they win that series. 93.2% of the time, a team that goes up 2-0 wins the series. They are 322 all-time. So does it look like the Nuggets are going to be more in line of a team like that, or does it look like the Bucks could be more in line of a team like that? At least the Nuggets are admitting the situation that they're in, where the Bucks seem to be oblivious to it. And I think that's a big concern for me as we do jump into game three tonight. Brewers lose last night. They lose Travis Shaw. I did want to start there, but I was listening to some of these comments by Michael Malone, and I can't wrap my head around how different it is. The same thing kind of happened. Jokic didn't play in the fourth quarter last night. The Nuggets were down big. Phoenix could not miss a shot, and the Nuggets lost. They were listless. They were all those adjectives I said the other day: lifeless, pathetic, motionless. It's the same situation. The Nuggets are going to approach that differently, and I'm going to expect that the Nuggets crowd is going to be like, all right, they need us. No matter what happens, we're going to get loud for them. Where I think Bucks fans tonight, at least this is what I would be like, I'm still thinking we can't do this. And if we go down early, a lot of the juice is going to be taken out of that arena. I don't care if there's 15,000 people or 50,000 people. Bucks need to show up, and they can't rely on those of you that are going tonight to do it. Now, at last check, the Bucks were favorites in tonight's game. I just want to check on that because it was a 3-point line as of yesterday, and right now we still have the Bucks favored as 3-point favorites. 3-point favorites. No James Harden again tonight for the Nets. He doesn't need to play. I don't think they're going to have him play at all until they lose, if they lose. Jeff Green also out tonight, so those guys that we've been talking about throughout the series won't be available. Bucks are going to be without Jordan Wara, it looks like, and Sam Merrill. So the injuries, comparison-wise, yeah. I mean, the Nets are going to be without James Harden, but we're going to be without Sam Merrill.
Yeah, they had to play some heavy playoff minutes the other night.
Sadly, they did. Sadly, Merrill did. 414-799-1250. Game tonight is on ESPN, 6:30. Another doubleheader tonight. Bucks have the early game. I hope that the Deer District is loud. I hope that Fiserv Forum's loud, but I still think a lot of this is going to be up to the Bucks in terms of how how attached and how motivated we get is going to be based on what they do and not vice versa. 799-1250, Skyler's on the north side. Skyler, what's up?
Yo, Bart, this is what got to happen. I'm going to give them the chance, but we got to fight. They got to fight these last four games or these, well, I said last two, four games. And hopefully we get that. But
I just want to be playing through the weekend.
Yeah, but they got to fight like every day is they last. They have to fight like they got to bite. They got to do everything they can to stay and to come back or even try to get back in this thing. And the last thing I want to say was, and Giannis has to get back that killer instinct. I don't know if y'all guys noticed, but I think he just got too much respect for Durant, and I think that's what's killing the Bucks. I think the respect that he had for Durant, man, right now Durant is your enemy. Forget the respect. Yeah, he's a hell of a player, but right now, F his guts. You want to kill him. So you got to get that respect because that's what he want to do to you. So you going to have to show the same motion that he's trying to kill you. You going to have to want his head. And that's the only chance we got.
That's a very descriptive. We're really getting close to murder, Skyler. We're just trying to win a basketball game, bud.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
kill his guts. Take his head. Skyler, I just want to win game three, my dude. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. He does make a good point, though. Giannis is out there playing like he's Kevin Durant's father and he wants his son to beat him. Or he's scared of him. Or he wants to make sure that he doesn't press too hard because he wants his autograph after the game. Giannis, he's not playing like Giannis. This is not the same Giannis that we've seen throughout the regular season. And that's what's so frustrating is the last 3 years, the Bucks have played very, very well. And then they reach a point in the playoffs where they just kind of lose everything.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to Giannis just owning Blake Griffin?
That's a thing that happened consistently in their careers. And then on Monday night, he seemed to be afraid.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Giannis. There's one guy standing between you and the bucket. It's old, washed up Blake Griffin. I don't care what he did game one. He's still old and washed up. And like you said, like you pointed out the other night, Charles Barkley said, oh, I had one good game in this series when I was old, and then I was tired the rest of the series. So Blake Griffin's tired. Go at him.
Yeah. Yeah. Fish out his guts.
That's right.
Take his head. Come on. Come on, freak.
Have the killer mentality.
Yeah. We need you, Giannis, because if you lose tonight, the series, it's over.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, let's do it then. One weird complaint that I've seen about Giannis, just a freak on the sheets, is there's like a group of people, and it's a lot of first name numbers on Twitter where it's like Jeff8565459, that the criticism on Giannis is, stop making babies and start playing basketball because he's got one kid and another on the way. Stop making babies. What a dumb time to be alive.
Yeah, seriously.
It is the dumbest time in history to be alive.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
stop making babies. Oh, okay. I mean that's really dumb. Bart Winkler, Toby's here. We are going to talk more about the Bucks throughout the show today. Game three is tonight. They are going to need you at Fiserv. They are almost banking on you at Fiserv. Bucks are a three-point favorite. Do want to talk some about the Milwaukee Brewers. They lose last night, not just the game, but Travis Shaw. And Jordan Love speaks for the Green Bay Packers. And people were finally impressed with one of his practices, but also more so impressed with his press conference as it's press conference evaluation season. So all that coming up. But again, Bucks a three-point favorite tonight. We chat with Nick Kostos, you bet about this. He would not touch this game. He could see the Bucks winning, but he would not touch this game if you are thinking about throwing some cheese down tonight.
I understand why the Bucks are favored tonight, and, you know, I think I've talked about this with you, right? We see this phenomenon a lot, right, where teams go down 2-0 on the road and then they come back home for game three. and the first half line is inflated, because we've seen a lot of teams in situations like this come out, you know, crowd's going to be hot, sense of urgency, and perform very well in the first half. So, you know, you're seeing Milwaukee -3 for the game, and I think the first half line is also -3, and you usually don't see that here. So I think the expectation is that Milwaukee's going to come out firing tonight, because we see teams in this spot, you know, historically kind of come out firing. And I do think it's also fair to say that Milwaukee's going to shoot better than it did in games 1 and 2. And look, I agree with you. I've said for a long time, I think Coach Bud is a clown. I think they should have fired Coach Bud after the Toronto series a couple of years ago. So I'm with you there. I think this is a team that's not a lot of fun to watch. And we don't have to really like clown on the Milwaukee Bucks here, because I know you guys probably do a lot of that on the show. But I certainly understand why Bucks fans wouldn't feel confident. I don't really want to bet on Milwaukee tonight. I do think they're going to come out and they're going to score a good amount of points tonight, and I think the three-point variance will be better. Like, I think Chris Middleton almost can't keep shooting like the way he has, and I think a lot of these shots are going to start dropping for Milwaukee. But again, like, the problem is I think Brooklyn's going to score a lot also. So maybe Milwaukee's able to win this game tonight. Maybe Milwaukee's able to cover the spread. I would never bet on Milwaukee in this game here. I do think if Brooklyn wins tonight, I think they sweep, because I think Milwaukee's going to 1-2-3 Cancun it and pack it in. And the body language is very poor for this team, as we saw, you know, while they were getting their butts whipped, obviously, in game number 2. I do think the over is worth a look in this game, though, because I do think you're going to get, like, a big scoring effort tonight from Milwaukee. You know you'll get that from Brooklyn. So it's 235 right now. The game 2 total closed 238.5. Obviously went under since Milwaukee scored 86 points. And now we're getting a bit of a discount as a result. So I would actually look to come back and play this over tonight. Wouldn't be shocked if Milwaukee won the game. I'm not going to bet on it. But I don't think Milwaukee obviously is going to win the series. And I don't think that's like a crazy take at all.
I don't know what they do should they lose this series. You fire Coach Bud, obviously. But then do you look at trading Middleton? Do you look at trading other pieces? Because this is the interesting thing about this Bucks era that we're in, is it feels like they've accomplished more than they have. If they bow out of this series, you went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago and then only got to the semifinals then last year and this year, it feels like you accomplished more than you did. But that's not a great accomplishment. I mean, hundreds of teams have had little three-year stretches like that. You got a Bucks team that is going to build around Giannis. That's good. Drew Holiday is a good piece. Middleton, although he didn't show up the other day, starting 0-for-8, you do like him, but the Nets are not going away. And they're doing all this without James Harden, who I think at one point on the bench realized, wow, I really don't have to come back this entire postseason. We're going to win the finals. I don't know what they do outside of the firing the coach.
Yeah, I think they're screwed. You know, I think like they're kind of like locked into like this Giannis, Middleton, Holiday, you know, group here for a while, and maybe there'll be some clever way to finagle out of it. But yeah, man, I think Milwaukee's in a lot of trouble here. And unless Giannis is awesome. Love Giannis. Love the fact that he re-signed in Milwaukee. I mean that seriously. He's great. But like at some point, can like he develop like a real mid-range jumper? Like, this team is just really predictable. They're really boring to watch. And I'm not trying to bang on them. I know a lot of fans are probably like, screw this guy, referring to me. I'm just being honest. Like, if they were really exciting and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to watch the Bucks, like, I'd rather watch the Atlanta Hawks a million times over before I watch the Milwaukee Bucks. Extremely predictable, very easy to defend. Yeah, I think they're in trouble for quite some time now. Now, and I think the problem is, you know, that they may be in the dead zone that you're talking about, Bart, right, where they're way too good to ever be in the lottery. Like, they'll make the playoffs every year for sure, maybe even be a top 4 seed every year, but never going to be good enough to, like, seriously contend to win the conference or win a championship.
Well, yeah, the problem is, don't feel like, oh, I hope I don't offend Bucks fans. You sound just like any regular person that's called in. We are...
Okay, good.
A lot of us feel embarrassed. We feel embarrassed that we believe in this team. We feel like, we just feel let down. Right at this point.
Yeah, I feel you. Just sports, though. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. You know, Bruce Arena told me that once. I had him on, and I was pissed that they lost the World Cup, or they didn't make the World Cup. And I'm like, Bruce, I mean, you didn't make the World Cup. He's like, well, it's just soccer.
Well, Bruce is a loser for saying that, because, like, I'm just some dude that sits on my couch and watches and bets on games. Bruce was the coach of the team, so Bruce
It's just soccer.
Like, hey, Bruce, you lost to Trinidad and Tobago and didn't qualify World Cup, you're a loser, buddy. Yeah, I think it's different for me to say, like, because look, you know, look, I love sports. I love my teams. I get upset when my teams lose. But at the end of the day, like, unless I bet on it, my wallet doesn't go up or down based on what the teams do, so whatever. But, like, Bruce Arena, like, literally lost his job because of that. Like, okay, loser, go right off into the sunset because you didn't qualify for the World Cup because you couldn't be Trinidad and Tobago. Loser comment by Bruce Arena.
Yeah, Nick Costos, you can find him, You Better You Bet. So, again, he's staying away from the Bucks game tonight in terms of a better. Now, when guys like that say they stay away, they still put a little bit on it. They just don't put their full unit on it. You can never stay away. If you're a better, you're betting. You can never stay away, but you'll probably do it cautiously. USA Soccer did win last night. USA Soccer's back. They beat Costa Rica in a friendly 4-0. And they beat Mexico the other night, so Bruce Arena.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Yeah, we are rolling. Bruce Arena, you can shove it. God, I was so mad. I interviewed that guy like right after, because he wrote a book, so now he's like, come on, I'll come on any show ever. And I said, what the hell, man? And he said, hey, it's just soccer, and, you know, these guys all fake an English accent. Yeah. They missed the World Cup. What a stupid time. Again, what a dumb time to be alive. Bucks have the Nets tonight. It is game 3. We will have you covered all throughout the day. It's Marcus Johnson Day on the Fan. He will join the big show coming up later this afternoon, and then he will join the Rami show coming up later this afternoon. I did not reach out to MJ, so we do not have the trifecta, but I'll have Rami on at 9 to preview Marcus Johnson Day. Looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. That's what we want. Romney.
Romney. Romney, as you guys call him. Yesterday, I do want to bring this to you guys because there's a former Brewer that we were talking about possibly seeing be a current Brewer again. And with the way that the game ended last night and the injury to Travis Shaw, our wishful dream may have to become a reality. Travis Shaw is hurt. For how long? How bad? He's dislocated his shoulder. We'll get the details from Craig Counsell as he knows him at this point. But what do the Brewers do now that they've lost? They already have a lack of production at the corners. And now one of those guys is hurt. We'll take a look at their loss last night, not just the game, but also Travis Shaw coming up when we are back. 12:50 a.m. at The Fan. The Fan from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. I'm Bart, that's Toby. Gene Wagner Plumbing for all your plumbing needs. Check out GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. 13 of 16, 10 of 11, 5 straight. That all came to an end last night for the Brewers, who lose to the Reds 7-3. The Cardinals won, and the Cubs beat the Padres. So when you look at the NL Central standings, no longer the first place Brewers. It's going to be a 3-team race for a long time. Cubs right now atop of it. 35-27. They are a half game up on the Brewers. And the Cubs then are 3 games up on the Cardinals. So they're 2.5 back. The Cardinals are of the Brewers. And Reds a game under 500. They're 4.5 back in the Central. So it's a 3-team race, a 4-team race for as long as the Reds want to make it. Brewers Reds again this afternoon. And when I say this afternoon, I mean this morning. With the 11:35 start time, Reds have the Eastern time zone, so it's always super early when they do play the day game against the Reds. Luis Castillo, who struggled this year against Freddy Peralta, who has not. I was reading The Athletic. They did an NL Central look around, and I always tell you guys, like, when any publication doesn't do a power or does a power ranking, don't look at it. Don't care. Standings are what matter. But the Pirates beat writer, they were just asking everybody the same question, and they asked this guy, "Well, what surprised you about the Central?" And he goes, "The Brewers. I thought they were going to be neck and neck with the Pirates for how bad they were." I'm like, come on, dude. If you're going to know the NL Central, you got to at least know the NL Central.
How are they going to be that bad with Burns and Woody?
The Pirates beat writer only watches the Pirates, I guess. Maybe he only watched the one series they played where the Pirates took 2 of 3.
Apparently.
Everybody that covers baseball, even those that your husband makes you listen in the car, know that it's a three-team race. It's the easiest take to have. NL Central is going to be a three-team race, maybe four with the Reds. Depends on what they do. Nobody knows. Pirates suck. I mean, that's easy. Pirates beat writers like, no. So I'm all like, my gears have been grinded on that. And maybe I'll make a burner account and start yelling at them online. Because I'm trying to be more polite online. And if that means tweeting less, that means tweeting less. I did make a late tweet last night. Do you care about Marvel? Yeah, me too. I've watched probably 60% of all their stuff, so not 100, but I'm interested in it. And I watched Loki yesterday, and it's streaming on Disney Plus. Very much a fan.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that that's up my alley, but I did see a lot of people on Twitter talking about it, you being one of them, and said it was pretty good.
Marvel's getting into like time and travel, time travel. And that is my.
Oh, you like that?
Oh, I love it. I love time travel stories.
See, I don't know that I'm as much into that kind of stuff. I'm more a documentary type of guy.
Ooh. Every time I watch a documentary, I want to travel back in time to the beginning of the documentary so I don't watch it. I can't. Documentaries don't do it for me.
I love documentaries.
There'd be a sad turn of the Brewers documentary on the 2021 season with Travis Shaw, who had a really good series, and then he's been getting the benefit of the doubt since opening day. But he's struggled a little bit. He'll come up with a nice hit like he did the other night, a time or two. But I don't think he's the long-term answer, certainly at third base. You're glad that he's back on the team and producing a little bit. But he's going to be out for a while. Travis Shaw getting hurt. Brewers lose 7-3. Travis Shaw, it was a play in the second quarter. He dove for a baseball, as one does when you're playing third base. That was going to trickle down the left field line, and he dove for it, and he just landed bad. And he landed on his shoulder, and Willie Adames afterwards said it kind of took the air out of the clubhouse. Although Adames was 4-4 last night, so it didn't take out too much air from his bat. Craig Counsell afterwards, with the update on Travis, what happened, and then what happens next, does not sound like Shaw's going to be back anytime soon.
Craig, we can only guess how tough it is for you and the players. I mean, to see something like that with Travis, it kind of makes the game pale in comparison, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was just unfortunate. He dove for a ball and. He popped the shoulder out. He was in quite a bit of pain. The doctor, Kremchek, kind of got it back in. And we'll get some tests tomorrow morning to see what's going on.
Craig, what's your understanding of the possible outcomes? It seems like with this one, it can be very wide from a couple of days like Cody Bellinger to a really long time.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a couple of days. I mean, we should wait to let them do the imaging and the X-ray, and then we'll have a good answer for you.
Hey, Craig, you had mentioned it, I think, yesterday, just about Travis's hits previous season. A lot of them have mattered, big time situations, driving in runs. He also is a left-handed batter at that position as well. So it's like, it has to be a pretty big loss, no matter the timetable, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's another player is going to get an opportunity to step up. But, in the long term, it probably means, Luis Urias is going to play more third base when Colton comes back. And Luis is doing a really nice job, and he's swinging the bat really well. So, you know, we another player is going to have to step up, and another player is going to get an opportunity. And that's when you have injuries, that's how it works and how you have to fill in around them. And that's going to be our job.
Just a weird year for Luis Urias, who was given the starting shortstop job, or at least the platoon, and then they traded Arcia four games in. I still don't think he's up at the big leagues yet. He's been just raking at Gwinnett for the longest time for the Braves. He's not up yet, is he?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard that he's up. I know he hit like seven home runs in 4 days, but they just traded him for depth. Because the Braves, when they made that trade, they already have a lot of guys that play those positions that you could stick Arcia at third and short. So, yeah, he's kind of been an afterthought. But then Urias gets the shortstop job and does not perform. So they go and trade for one. Then he's got, like, nowhere to play. Then Colton Wong gets hurt, so now he's back at second. And now Travis Shaw is hurt, so now he's going to play primarily at third once Wong is back. But in the meantime, your third baseman is going to be Daniel Robertson and Pablo Reyes, unless they call up somebody else. But that's going to be what it is right now. A lot of people wanted Zach Greene up. Zach Greene was raking in May at the minors. I believe he might only have one hit in June. He's cooled off quite a bit. A lot of us getting a little intrigued with a prospect down in AAA, and that guy has cooled off. So for the meantime, I would just think it's Robertson and Reyes. They're going to have to make a move with Shaw, 10-day DL to start. We'll see how long he is out. He dislocated his shoulder. All that council can say right now is it'll be longer than a couple of days. And so we'll get what the long-term outlook is on him and where they go from there. Now, could this force the Brewers to make a decision on somebody? Somebody that I certainly think is coming back at some point this season. I just don't see a way that he doesn't. But I talked with Tim Allen about this, host of the Brewers postgame show, and this was even before the Shaw injury we brought this up. At what point is Ryan Braun a Brewer again?
I think Stearns is going to have to do something. He will, Bart. And is the answer you and I have discussed? I know you're a big proponent of this. Everything makes sense from every single angle to bring Ryan Braun back in to this Milwaukee Brewers organization. And I mean everything.
Yeah.
The only thing that, well, I guess everything would be a little too far. The only thing that may not be in line with that might be the wife and the family situation. But
there was an Instagram yesterday that
saw
her
that.
His wife took video of it, so she's putting it out there. This thing,
yep.
Ryan Braun was hitting balls off like an automated machine, was it yesterday? And his wife recorded it on Instagram and then put it out there. She didn't have to put it out there. That could have just been a private family moment. Mm-hmm. She put it out there, Tim.
Let's start at the top. Look at what he has done in stretch pennant race baseball. Load up on my shoulders. I'll carry you. He was a spokesperson in the clubhouse. You were in there a time or two. He's a leader in that clubhouse. And the main thing is top of the list, the bullet point list, as we flow down the chart here, is he is going to help this team win. Now, where do you play him? Well, he's right there at first base in a platoon situation, righty-lefty with Vogelback. That allows him some downtime, some rest time, some scheduled days off. All these things come into play here. He can ease himself back in. The fact that he would help them win baseball games is key. Number two, we all know about these types of guys. Not to be judgmental, but part of what makes these guys so good is an ego and a swagger, and he's got it. And he wants to go out, full fan attendance coming up here in a couple of weeks, down the stretch. Brewer fever is going to catch here, you know, pending that, you know, they continue this. He's going to want to do a little bit of a farewell tour. Everything about the leadership in the clubhouse is another bullet point here. Everything makes sense here, Bart. It does. And if they're not in communication with him, The Dodgers had a chance right there. I wonder behind the scenes if there were talks between Brawny's camp and that L.A. Dodger team, and they went ahead and pulled the Pujols deal. But, again, everything makes sense to me. Nothing doesn't make sense on getting him back in here for a stretch run.
Well, I'll tell you, and we don't care about this because when you're right, you're right. And I feel like I have a path with you that I have with another friend of mine where we might disagree on stuff, but if we both agree on the same thing, that means it's right. You and
we'll
I are
smoke,
too.
There's fire.
We're too smart, the two of us, that if we both agree on something, then come on. I saw somebody tweet, there are too many people that unironically want to see Ryan Braun back here. And then everybody was like, I know those people are so stupid. It's cool right now to think we don't need Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun, he wants to go out in front of fans. You cannot convince me that he doesn't. And the other thing is, just think of this. Think of if he doesn't start a game. Think of that. He's not starting a game. Okay, the Brewers are getting low on the bench. The other manager's got to make his decisions. Having Ryan Braun on the bench might put a little more fear into opposing team than, well, if they just pinch hit this guy, it'll be Jace Peterson.
Peterson,
you have Ryan
Reyes.
Braun as a weapon on that bench. Oh, just the presence of him speaks volumes. Bring this guy back. He obviously wants to come back. He's obviously coming back. It's so obvious he's coming back. Yeah. Why don't we just admit it right now? Everyone knows it. The Brewers have already got all their social media stuff ready and all their ticket promotions ready. I promise you they do. Do I have any insight on that? No. I'm making it up, but I believe it. So that's what I feel.
I'm with you, and just it's probably in the works right now would be my guess. What do you want here? I mean, when there's an offensive drought, which there is with this baseball team, do you want Daniel Robertson, Pablo Reyes, Jace Peterson, Corey Ray? Do you want, seriously, I'm serious about this, or Ryan Braun, and again, all the things we talked about, the leadership, the stretch drive, they're going to hone his off time to where he can play, you know, probably five out of every seven games or so, and just run him that way. I mean, so you talk about versatility. Well, he's versatile, can play left, right, and first base. Everything says that it would be a good idea, let alone this way at the bottom. And I don't know if it matters too much, but I guess, you know, in this situation, it probably would. You imagine the ticket sales in a pennant race with Brawny's return? Come on, guys.
He's been with this team.
Say farewell to Brawny.
He's been with this organization for 15 years, and he didn't get a proper send-off. They're gonna at minimum, they're gonna bring him back for a week. He never retired. It is so obvious that Ryan Braun, and it always has been. It's so obvious he's gonna come here, and I don't know when it'll be, September, whatever. It's so obvious that we just all need to admit.
You want Billy McKinney as your fifth outfielder or Ryan Braun?
God.
You want a versatile additional guy on the roster named Daniel Robertson, Jace Peterson, Pablo Reyes, or do you want Ryan Braun? It's pretty simple. There's no way he's going to hit less than what some of these guys are hitting, Bart. There's just no way.
How pumped
there's just
are
no
you?
Way.
How pumped are you for when Ryan Braun comes back?
That's sweet.
I'm like
swing.
Getting goosies.
That sweet swing, and then it's going to be, I don't know about a bobblehead, but I could see a little Ryan
Braun. My head's
going to
bobble. I won't contain how excited I am.
A Ryan Braun photo card day or something like that where, you know, you have a picture of him, I don't know, hitting a big homer or something. And, you know, just imagine pulling him off the field, you know, late September. When the Brewers have a playoff spot wrapped up and you pull that dude off the field right there, whoo, look out. That's some Brewer chills, yes.
Oh, man, am I pumped for Ryan Braun to come back.
Are we getting grief on this when we talk about this,
yeah.
Bart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, people think we're stupid. People think we're stupid.
I don't know what doesn't make sense. Every baseball sense of fiber in me says it makes sense. How does it not make sense?
If he was retired, he would have retired. I mean, that if he was retired, he would have retired. He didn't retire. He doesn't He's taking swings. His wife is post. Why she ain't? She ain't, they ain't going to the family zoo. The guy is posting swings.
Why would he be swinging? Seriously.
Yeah, he ain't swinging for his Northern California strong softball league.
Well, here's the stunner. What if the Chicago Cubs bring him in for a stretch drive?
No chance. He'll never do it.
I don't think he would either. No.
He would have been a Dodger.
I will lose my mind if this ever comes out that Braun was interested in the return and the organization said no thanks. I will lose.
There's not.
I might retire. I might
happening.
Retire. I might never talk about Brewers baseball again on the air.
You think Jeff Bezos Antanasio is going to not let this money go? You think he's going to lose a year of revenue and turn down the chance to have Ryan Braun come back? Absolutely not.
The key to crossing this bridge, guys, I mean, we all know it. They have to stay in this thing. If they start falling out a little bit, then maybe not.
Well, he's still coming back for the goodbye.
Well, I don't know, man. He may not want to come back into a snake pit like that where it's, you know, it's they're spiraling downward. I don't see that happening with this type of pitching, but just stay in this thing, and Bronny's back. Number 8's going to be back.
Tim Allen, host of our baseball postgame show. That is our conversation regarding Ryan Braun. That actually was on our mind before the Travis Shaw injury. So if you look now, because Shaw can play first, maybe Braun can play some first. They still have outfield injuries. I mean, I don't need to find a spot for Ryan Braun. He wants to come back. He can come back. I do read a lot into the fact that if he just goes and takes swings one day, that's one thing. But then his wife posted it. I mean, she didn't have to do that.
You know it's going to stir up rumors when you post stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's definitely something there.
I agree. Brewers fan tweets in, says, with Shaw going down, hopefully Stearns will push for a third baseman now. I still love Trevor Story as a rental. Rentals won't cost a ton in prospects. I'd also take a look at Josh Donaldson in a Cardinals-Rockies-type trade. Twins are going nowhere. Don would crush at Miller Park if Twins give some money. The Cardinals-Rockies trade that got the Cardinals-Arenado, we can't bank on that kind of trade ever happening again. That was the dumb move by a dumb team.
That was so bad.
I know. We could get Josh Donaldson from Minnesota, fine. They're not going to pay us a ton of money to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the better option is, and you've said it all along, go look at Trevor Story, and that's from the franchise that gave Arenado away for free, so maybe you can get Story for pennies on the dollar.
They have changed some front office people since the Arenado giveaway, but still. Yeah, you can't say, oh, well, maybe this team will give us their guy and pay for him to be here. No, that was a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-baseball-type giveaway. It was Babe Ruth for $100,000, and then Nolan Arenado, and here's $50 million to pay for him.
Yeah.
Never happen again.
I'll give you possibly the game's best third baseman. And you know what? I'll pay his contract. We just don't want him here anymore for no reason at all.
Yeah. That will never happen again. Bart, Toby, we're going to hear from Jordan Love coming up just after 7 o'clock. And he was impressive on the field yesterday. He was also impressive in the press conference. And I think there's a handful of people that are like on the fence, but then they heard him talk and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is our guy. And I think I might be one of those people. Next time you do watch a baseball game, head on over to Fourth Base Sports Bar. It's on National. It is right near the ballpark. It has been featured in the movie Major League. Those scenes at the bar, that was at Fourth Base Sports Bar, an old-fashioned horseshoe-type bar. It is a sports bar in every sense of the word. It feels like a sports bar. It looks like a sports bar. It sounds like a sports bar. It really is a great place to go watch a game, especially if you're heading there before or maybe even after. But it's also a great place to eat, and that cannot be ignored. You walk in there, everything about it looks sports bar. Everything about it looks like your normal corner bar, your sports bar. It's a bar. A good one at that. But then there's this deli case and there's lobster in it and shrimp and steak. And that's the kind of food that they offer. I mean, you need a burger. There's burgers in there. They'll give you a, they'll fry up a burger. But if you really want some premium eats at a sports bar, this is the place to go. Check them out. The King Crab is there. Huge shrimp. They've got the shaved steak sandwiches. Steaks, just steaks. You can go to a sports bar, watch a baseball game, have a 12-ounce steak. I mean, it's a nice way to spend a game. They've been open since 1977, family-owned, on National Avenue. Check out their Facebook page for daily updates and menu specials. What I've liked about talking about fourth base is I've liked hearing from a lot of you guys that have gone there in the past, that have liked it, that have become kind of a part of that community. So they're always, you know, seats are always open for you. Fourth Base Sports Bar on National. More coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1250 AM, The Fan. You can catch us on the Odyssey app. Locked On Packers is on the Odyssey app, hosted by Peter Bukowski. You can really treat yourself today, because Peter will join us at 9:30, and then later today, I will join Peter. So, if you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app yet, What are you waiting for? Odyssey. It is. God, I'm staring at the app on my phone right now. That beautiful orange. God, do I love audio. I fall asleep to it. It's causing problems in my marriage. Bart, who are you talking to down there? Nobody, honey. I'm just listening to Charli D'Amelio talk about TikTok. And her parents talk about what it's like to raise TikTok daughters. Oh, God. How do I even finish my show? I just want to talk about Odyssey. College football playoff discussions are ramping up again about a possible expansion. It won't expand this year and it won't expand next year, but there's a realistic possibility it could expand the year after that already. And I think most people that want to see the college football playoff expand have agreed on 8. And so the college football playoff discussions are now centering on 12. Everybody's like, 8 makes sense. 5 power 5. Then get the best mid-major and then 2 at-larges. And now college is like, actually, we might do 12. So they want more of these at-larges. The way that it's suggested to work is you could have, like, seed 12 play at seed 5, and then the top 4 seeds would have a bye. But then, like, let's say the Badgers are the 5th seed. They're going to host a game at Camp Randall, get all that revenue, get all that attention. And then if Alabama's the 4 seed, they're not going to get another home game. They'll play then, like, in the bowl or wherever. So that's one hiccup. The other hiccup is these bowl games that are powerful. Like, we're trying so hard to hang on to the Rose Bowl. Just make the Rose Bowl the championship. Is that a bad idea?
I like that. I love watching the Rose Bowl. And that's the only thing I didn't like about the college football playoff, is it's like, unless you're in the playoff, I don't care about your bowl game anymore.
Yeah, the bowl games, they're... I've kind of weirdly got more into them because, I guess, daily fantasy, maybe. I don't know. But they are irrelevant. Like, people when the Badgers lose the Rose Bowl, sometimes we'll go through this list of painful Wisconsin sports losses, and people will include Badgers losing a Rose Bowl in there. I'm like, well, what the hell are you doing? Oh, it sucked. We should have beat Oregon. I don't even remember. Who remembers the Rose Bowl? Who cares? It's an exhibition. It's fun. It's fun to watch. I watch it. I'm like rooting. I'm like, come on, Badgers. And then they lose, and I wipe it from my memory.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I loved watching the Rose Bowl. It was one of my favorite games to watch outside of the national championship. Now, unless it's a part of the college football playoff, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I still care, but not like who wins. I care because I love watching college football, especially that time of the year, you know, when it is waning and you're trying to get every game possible that you can, and it's a matchup of two good teams. But, I mean, who won the Rose Bowl this year?
I don't know.
Who was in it?
I don't remember.
Was it part of the playoff?
I feel like it was, because it was held at
AT&T
Stadium, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why I don't remember the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl at AT&T Stadium.
Because the Rose Bowl was in Dallas. Yes, that's why I didn't remember the Rose Bowl. You know who's never sniffed a Rose Bowl is Jordan Love, playing at Utah State. But Jordan Love is sniffing the QB1 job in Green Bay. He had a couple bad practices this week. Who cares? He had a good practice yesterday. Oh.
Rodgers
now,
who?
Yeah. Now we're salivating. We will hear from the current QB1, Jordan Love, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.